Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you. And it's nice to hear you as well. We've got a few more seats being given out at the back, which is always a good thing. Always a good problem to have. Am I speaking too loudly? Am I speaking too quietly? There's some feedback. Not all feedback is good feedback, but that's okay. Well, you're all very welcome to this Sunday morning, our Connect service. There are very few notices to give you. Most of our weekly organizations have finished for the summer, with the exception of Pilates. Pilates last week is this coming Wednesday. Our Wednesday morning communions have come to a close, but we've been invited to join the Divine Healing Ministries as they have Tuesday morning communions on the first and the third Tuesday of every month. So this coming Tuesday happens to be the first Tuesday of the month. And so at 10 a.m., anyone who wants to can come and join us across the road, number 162, I think it is, Upper Knockbreda Road. And they'll be doing, I think it's Holy Communion 2. So it won't be that different from what folks are used to. So that's Tuesday mornings, the first and third Tuesday of every month. They also have a craft day on Mondays between 10 and 12 a.m. So those of you who are missing your craft fix and want to go across the road there, you'd be very welcome. No one would think badly of you as long as you came back when things start here. Then I'm sure actually people would genuinely know that nobody would think badly of you. Next Sunday services, 9 a.m. Holy Communion, 11 a.m. Holy Communion with a guest speaker from CMS, and next Sunday evening will be evening prayer. This Sunday, we have a guest speaker. We're going to have Claire giving a reflection for us this evening. So those who want to come along to Holy Communion this evening, 7 p.m., you're all 100% welcome. It will be a lovely service. Let's stand and worship together. Let's sing together. It's amazing.
It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. Lord, to you I lift my praise. In all my grieving and in all my weeping, your grace still flows, your grace still flows. Seeking and on my returning, your grace still flows to me. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. Lord, to you I lift my praise. Thank you for your kindness that leads me to repentance. Thank you for your power that saves me, Jesus. Thank you for your name. astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. Lord, to you I lift my praise. In all my days of quiet restoring, your grace still flows, your grace still flows. And when I walk with joy overflowing, your grace still flows to me. Amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. Lord, to you I lift my praise. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. It's amazing, astounding, extravagant grace. Lord, to you I lift my praise.
Please take your seats. Part of God's gift to us, the grace that he gives us, is the ability for us to be honest with him, to look to God and speak openly about how we are and who we are. And in that vein, we know that there's parts of ourselves, whether it's through things we've done or things that we've thought, that fall short of who we want to be with him. So we come to a time of openness and a time of honesty, and we give ourselves in confession to God. And there's some words on the screen that we can share together. If we say, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious Lord, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand again and sing together The Servant King.
This is our God, the servant king.
Scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails
Please take your seats. We're going to be thinking today and for the next few Connect services about the kingdom of God. And Matthew writes an awful lot about the kingdom of God, and our reading is from Matthew today. And I think instead of you just hearing my voice, it would be nice if we could read it together. So our reading is from Matthew 13, starting at verse 31. So I'll start us off and you join in. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. When they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. And as we come to reflect on some of the ideas brought up about the kingdom of God, we'll stand and And in fact, no, I'm going to change that. We're going to keep our seats as we sing together, Rescuer.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is good news for the captive. Good news for the shamed. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter. The one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Sweet the sound, oh how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. He is beauty for the blind man, riches for the poor. He is friendship for the one the world ignored. He is pasture for the weary, and rest for those who strive. For the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. Chainless, come and be fearless. Come to the foot of Calvary. There is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. So come and be chainless. Come and be fearless. Of Calvary, there is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. He's our rescuer, he's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer.
Please keep your seats as we meditate and say together a responsive creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father who made the world?
I believe and trust in Him.
Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed mankind?
I believe and trust in Him.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God?
I believe and trust in Him.
This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we stay seated as we sing together, Jesus, All for Jesus.
Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have, and ever.
Heavenly Father, be with us this morning and let all things come together for your good and for your glory. Amen. So this morning, we're going to think a bit about the kingdom of God, and it's going to be a little bit messy. We're thinking about the kingdom of God and as far-ranging and as complicated as creation itself is, so is the kingdom of God. It's far-ranging. It's complicated. So this morning, we're going to have a whirlwind tour of some ideas, some thoughts, and some parts of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God an awful lot. And Matthew is well known for gathering the kingdom of God sayings and stories together. However, Matthew was rather nervous of using God's name as often as the others in the gospel writers did. So he referred to it as the kingdom of heaven. Slightly different language, but the same meaning. The trouble is, though, despite the amount of time Jesus spent speaking about the kingdom, he never gave a tight definition of what the kingdom actually is. He doesn't give the kingdom definable borders like a country like Scotland may have. What Jesus does do, though, is use stories. He uses stories to convey thoughts, ideas, actions, and even feelings that are the kingdom of God. Why did he use stories? I think because stories are in our DNA. I've met hundreds of children in my time as a teacher, hundreds of children who found reading and writing very difficult. It's because it's not natural. Reading and writing is something that's human-made. We decide that reading and writing is the way we're going to convey almost all of our information. It's tricky. Talking and listening, that's natural. I know some of us have difficulties for lots of different reasons with it, but it's much more human and, again, part of our DNA. Those children who find talking and listening difficult, or find reading and writing difficult, they will hang on to every word of a story. And the stories Jesus told open up the listener's heart and minds and bodies to a new way of life with him, God, as king. And Jesus' challenge of the kingdom was this. He said to us, you all live a certain way because the government, the tax collectors, the local authorities say that they are in charge. And they all tell you to live that way. But no, said Jesus, I am king. How are you going to live with that information? Are you going to ignore me completely as king? Are you going to just pay me lip service and really do nothing different at all? Or are you going to recognize me as the one deserving your allegiance and your priorities? If Jesus was to appear on the BBC News, and if he was to ask his followers to start breaking tax laws, what would we do? Would we recognize Jesus' authority above the chancellor's, and would we act accordingly? Now, he's not doing that. I can't say down that camera, don't pay your taxes. But what if he did? What would we do? Where would our allegiance be? So today I want to tell some stories about the kingdom of God. None of them will define the kingdom fully, but hopefully they'll allow us to ponder the kingdom. And stories like these are seeds that we can take away and nurture, or we can throw them away in a gutter. But be warned, though, even if you throw a seed away, it still grows. It's just that maybe somebody else benefits from the fruit. Some of the stories Jesus told were about the mysterious and the unseen nature of the kingdom of God. So you could say the kingdom of God is like a man who hangs out the household laundry. Some of you are saying that in itself is a miracle. But no. The man takes the wet sheets and towels and he hangs them up to dry. Hours later, he returns and finds them dry and ready to use again. The next day, he does the same thing. This time, though, he decides to sit and watch them as they dry. Every now and then, he tests them and he puts his hands on them and he finds, oh, they're a wee bit drier. But no matter how hard he looks, he cannot actually see it happen. Even though he's staring at it and it's happening before his eyes. The kingdom of God could be like a spoonful of ground coffee left in a cafetiere. Hot water's poured over the coffee and it's left with the lid shut. Unseen and left alone, the coffee infuses the water. The flavor deepens and gets stronger. And when the coffee maker comes back, they find that unseen and untouched, the beautiful brew has been formed. And there's an unseen working that's got nothing to do with us in the kingdom of God. Some of Jesus' stories seem to contradict that 100%. Some of Jesus' stories are about the fact that the kingdom of God is absolutely not private. It's not private and it's not secret. It's something that can be spotted a mile off. The kingdom of God is like a woman driving down a one-way street. Now, halfway down the street, she's going the right way. You're a funny lot. You find it funny to hear about a man hanging out the laundry, and you find it funny to hear about a woman driving down the street. Relax. The kingdom of God is like a woman driving down a one-way street. Halfway down the street, she hears a cry through her open window, and she turns to look. Someone is hurt, they've fallen, and they need help. And despite the rules of the road, she quickly turns the car and beeps everyone out of the way. She bundles that injured person into the car, and then she breaks the speed limit when she drives them to the hospital. The kingdom of God can be seen in the life of its citizens as they follow the kingdom's rule and prioritize the kingdom's rule above the rules put down by governments. The kingdom of God is like a young buck, a young deer, finding himself in East Belfast. He walks down the Craigie Road and he looks in all the shops, but he doesn't stop. He looks at the takeaways at the roundabout, and he even comes up as far as Maud's, but he doesn't stop. He wanders around Craigie Park and he finds the church grounds. He looks around, but he doesn't stop. The curate and the rector are called to come and corral this deer. They try and herd him, but he slips past them and he keeps on moving. The vestry all join hands and try and hem him in. And so do the mother's union. So do the crafters. They get needles, they're knitting needles together, and they try and stop this deer, but he just keeps on going. He doesn't stop. Then he gets into the church building and he sees the pews and the stained glass and the altar, but he keeps moving. He doesn't stop. Then the young deer sees it. He sees the small, simple cross behind the communion table. He walks up to it, but he keeps on moving. He doesn't stop. And he's out of the church building now, and he's nearing the dual carriageway when he hears a voice. "Hey, come over here." And he turns and he sees a plain-looking man with holes in his hands. And the deer goes and he sits down at this man's feet. Because the kingdom of God and the person of Jesus is where the buck stops. Thank you. Everything stops at Jesus. Everything finds its home in the kingdom of God. Nowhere else. The buck doesn't stop with any government or organization or even a church as an institution. The buck stops with the King, and we're all called to live accordingly. And sometimes Jesus told stories to make it clear what the kingdom was not. And some of these stories, God's people, the Hebrews, the Jews, some of them found it very offensive. The kingdom of God is not the church institution any more than a swimming pool is the ocean. Tidy swimming lanes and tidy rows of pews and chairs are good, and they have their place. Liturgies and traditions and chlorinated water in a swimming pool keep things tidy and clean. But to pour all of our energies into a church government institution and say that it is completely the same as the kingdom of God is like saying that the local pool on Montgomery Road is the same as the ocean. It's just not. It can't be. The kingdom of God is vast. It's huge. It's wild. It's good, but sometimes it's not safe. Now, this kind of talk got Jesus into trouble. If you ask any child why Jesus died, that child will say, "To save us from our sins." And that's right. But there's more around that story. The fact is that with all Jesus' talk and works on the kingdom of God were so unsettling, it's amazing that Jesus lived for as long as he did. It's amazing that he wasn't sorted out almost immediately. Jesus was killed, but of course, Jesus rose again. And he planted the kingdom's flag in the center of all of creation. Now, almost all of us know someone who is sick. We all know someone who is dying. We all know someone, at least one, who is afraid. The kingdom of God is that king sitting at the bedside of those who are coming to the end of this life and whispering in their ear, "My child, I've been where you are, and I am now going to walk you to safety." The kingdom of God is when we look at the rules and the so-called realities of the world in a completely new and different way. It's like finding a new north and setting a course according to it. Now, this morning has been a bit of a crash bang wallop introduction to some parts of the kingdom of God. And over the next few Connect services, we're going to unpack this a little bit more and maybe take some of these ideas and settle on them. Maybe tidy up a few things, but hopefully not too much. If you look at something and you look at your ministry, everyone here has a ministry, and if you can tie it up with a bow and you can present it as neat as you like, let little alarm bells go off, because the kingdom of God is lots of things, but tidy and easy, it's not. So some of the images that we've spoken about this morning, maybe take them home with you and mull them over. Ask God about them. Tell God about them. You could go home this afternoon and say, "Dear God, Andy hasn't a clue what he's talking about. What's he going on about?" And tell God what you think. Or you could say to God, "Heavenly Father, I don't know about some of these things. Help me understand." Or you could say to God, "Heavenly Father, I have a very certain feeling, a very certain knowledge about part of your kingdom that you want me to work in. Give me strength. Give me confidence." And if there's anything that's come up in our service this morning that anyone wants to talk about, please do. When you go to a football match, folks on PowerPoint screens, I've gone off pieced, but don't worry, you're done now. If you go to a football match or you watch a movie on TV, what do you do when you come out? You talk about it. You think, "Oh, I wonder what the next game will be like. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen in the sequel." So when we go to church, let's talk about it when we leave. If there's something that you think is great, talk about it. If there's something that you think is horrendous, you're all a respectful lot. Talk about it. It's fine. But let's make it our conversation, not just on Sundays, but Mondays through to Saturday. Because what a great thing to talk about. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, may your kingdom come. May the way we live and act here and now be as if we were following the laws of heaven. May we be loyal to you as our King. And when this is a daunting or frightening thought, make us strong in your strength and not ours. Amen. As you stay in your seats and as you think further about what we've been saying and thinking about the kingdom of God, let's sing together, "My worth is not in what I own."
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds and love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoiced in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other, my soul is satisfied in him alone. As summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth of mine or human wisdom's fading light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other, my soul is satisfied in him alone. Two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other, my soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other, my soul is satisfied in him alone.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, your Son said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray that it would look to you and your kingdom first. Let the church's allegiance be to you, and forgive the church for clinging to power and influence in the world. Be with your church in the wealthy countries of Europe, the United Kingdom and Ireland, and the United States, as we're so easily distracted by our comfort and status. And as Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son said, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Across the globe, countries are warring and grabbing and hurting one another. We do this because we want to grab power for ourselves. Let us let go and give power to you. Heavenly Father, like children, let us be free in the knowledge that all we need comes from you. We pray for those who are hurt or made destitute by wars, famines, and floods. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Heavenly Father, may this come to pass now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for this, our parish. Let us seek your kingdom first. Let us devote ourselves to your laws of love. Let us go and find the lost and give them the good news of the kingdom. And if there are things done among us that are not of your kingdom, will you be gentle with us, but will you prune like a good gardener? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your kingdom reaches deeper and wider and longer than the world we can see. And we take a moment now and we bring to you in silence those we know who are lost, afraid, sick, and lonely, and those who are about to pass into a new stage of life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather these prayers together with the words of the kingdom prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together Across the Lands.
You're the Word of God, the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of the cross. With the prayer you fed the hungry, with the word you can't receive, yet how silently you suffered that the guilty made you free. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. With a shout you rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your way. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own. From each tribe and tongue and nation, you are leading sinners home.
please stay standing as we prepare to go out into God's kingdom together. And we say together, we go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us in our time of worship this morning. And thank you to those who are joining us online and at home. We bring our service to a close with a prayer of blessing. May the God who is over all of his kingdom, and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn is Rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in your heart. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, he arise. Now is the time for us to march upon this land. Into our hands, he will give the ground we claim. He rides in majesty to lead us into victory. The world shall see that Christ is Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in your heart. He lives, breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. At work in us, his purpose to perform, building the kingdom of power, not of words. When things impossible by faith shall be made possible, let's give the glory to him now. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Glory.